It is time for the Legal Hour, and this week we are talking about personal injury. Joining me in the studio is Maria Pilkington from Oliver & Co Solicitors. Welcome to the show, Maria.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
I've been hearing a lot about how you guys at Oliver & Co go out running on your lunch breaks these days. Do you get involved in that?
I have got involved.
Yeah?
I'm not as regular as some of my other colleagues.
This is the Couch to 5K initiative that I was hearing from David. He was telling me all about it. But take a look at our Facebook page. We've got a few pictures on there. I think it's a great idea.
Oh, it's great, yeah.
So personal injury, that is the subject this week. You'll be able to hear all about it on our podcast as well. We've got previous ones on our website. So let's start with making a claim for personal injury. How do people go about that, Maria?
Well, some of the things that they need to know about in making the claim is how long they've got to make a claim from when the accident happened. Obviously, to make a claim for compensation for personal injury, you need to have had an accident, you need to have had an accident that wasn't your fault, you need to be injured, and you need to be able to identify who the person is or the entity is that is to blame, and really they need to have the means to be able to pay your compensation if you're successful. So that usually means that they need to be backed by some sort of insurance, maybe motor insurance if it's a road traffic accident, or employer's liability insurance if it's an accident at work, or public liability insurance. The other thing that you need to be aware of is that you've only got a limited time to actually make a claim, and by that we mean issue court proceedings, and that's usually 3 years. For most claims it's 3 years, but some claims it's even less than that, only 2 years. If you were to have an accident on a plane or on a boat, it's 2 years. Or if you wanted to make a claim to the Criminal Injuries Compensation Authority, as a body that pays out compensation for victims of violent crime, that's only 2 years. If you're a child, though, the 3 years would start to run when you become an adult, so you do
Right.
have until you're 21, yeah.
So obviously varying time scales. There'll be people listening, I'm sure, who something would have happened to them, but they're not quite sure whether or not they can make that claim. There's a few steps, I guess, to go through and find out who's to blame as well. By the way, we welcome your questions on the show this evening. Get in touch on Chester 391063. You can email as well at studio@deradio.com. Get on Facebook. You can tweet us, all the usual ways, on the smartphone app as well. So what exactly can people claim for, Maria?
Well, what they'd be claiming for is for compensation for their injuries. That's what we call pain and suffering and loss of amenity, how it's affected your life. And the technical name is for that is general damages. So that's the compensation that you get for the actual physical injuries that you have suffered. And then the whole aim of the compensation process is to try and put you back in the position you would have been in had the accident not happened. So you can claim for your out-of-pocket expenses. And by those, I mean things like loss of earnings, if you've paid out for medications or prescriptions, if you've paid out for physiotherapy, if you've paid out for travel expenses, all those sort of things that you can quantify, then you can claim for those. You can also claim if someone's had to look after you, either a family member or friend, to do those things that you're physically not able to do yourself. It could be helping you to, you know, get dressed or have a shower. It could be helping you to with your housework, your shopping, that sort of thing. That can all be claimed for. And then in the bigger cases, it could be more significant things that you can claim for. Adaptations to your home, changes to your car, because you can't drive, you know, the car that you had before.
So these things, I mean, they can affect all the things in your life, and some of the types of accidents that you can claim for as well, we are going to discuss very soon. There's quite a few that you've dealt with throughout the years, isn't there? Including the cling film one, which I did talk about earlier. More on that coming up very soon. Also, music from Daft Punk next.
Drive Time.
One more time, Daft Punk on Chester's D Radio. It is the Legal Hour, brought to you with Oliver & Co Solicitors. In the studio right now is Maria Pilkington, Head of Personal Injury. Now, Maria, we've talked about making a claim for compensation and what exactly you can claim for, and loss of earnings. Some of the accidents that you've dealt with over the years. I mean, we have a few of these case studies here. Should we go through them and what exactly you can claim compensation for in these situations?
Okay. Well, you know, one of the large areas that we deal with are accidents at work, which can cover, you know, a large spectrum of things. It could be something to do with defective equipment that you're working with, for example, sitting on a chair that collapses, or it could be something to do with the negligence or the fault of your colleague who may drop something on you, a hammer or something like that. Just some recent examples of cases that I myself have dealt with have involved a scaffolder who was hit by a piece of metal that fell down, cut his leg, and he was awarded £40,000 for that. I've had a man who injured his finger with a grinder at work, and he's been left with a permanent problem with his finger, but it's not affected his ability to work. He's still able to work. He was awarded £30,000, right down to a lady who slipped on ice just trying to get into work, using the staff car park. It hadn't been gritted. She's fallen and injured her back, and she was awarded £5,000. And then you can have cases where your client has been injured as a result of horseplay, pranking about at work. And you mentioned before the case that I've dealt with.
Yeah, well, all the ones that you've just mentioned, you can imagine all those scenarios. This one I wasn't really expecting, so just tell us a bit more about this prank that happened in the workplace.
Well, this unfortunate gentleman, well, it was his birthday. His colleagues came over, grabbed him, and they worked in a factory and decided to wrap him in cling film or bubble wrap, whatever they used to wrap up pallets, and then they decided to dangle him upside down by his ankles, and surprisingly
it didn't end well. I told
it didn't
you
end
it's
well.
Not going to end
they
well.
Dropped him and he landed on his wrist and you know, was injured, fortunately, you know, not really seriously, but he was. We were successful in claiming against his employer because the employers are what's called vicariously liable for the behaviour or the actions of their employee.
Okay.
And he recovered compensation of over £7,000 for that.
What was the conversation like between you and you heard about this incident?
Well, I couldn't believe what he was telling me to begin with, but, you know, it seems to be the sort of thing that must go on.
It obviously happens.
So that isn't an isolated case. You know, it was an isolated case involving shrink wrap or, you know, cling film.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are other cases where I do think,
how on earth has that just happened? What are you telling me right now?
Yeah.
Prank call. Well, let's turn our attention also to road traffic and accidents and when claims can be made there, Maria.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that I think most people would know about road traffic accidents. Hopefully you can avoid them, but we see them all the time. So this is involving, you can be a driver, you can be a passenger in a car that's involved in an accident, you can be on your motorbike, on your bicycle, and be hit by another car, anything like that. You know, is this, you know, you and you're injured and it's not your fault, you can make a claim. Even pedestrians passengers on buses or pedestrians, you know, and you're crossing the road. And I was just going to give an example of a recent case where my client's just riding a bike along and somebody's parked on the side of the road, decides to get out of their car, doesn't look to see whether or not it's clear because can't see a car, think it's clear. They've opened the door right onto my client who's been knocked off a bicycle and, you know, and she's been injured. And she was awarded £10,000 for her injuries and other losses altogether. Fortunately, you know, she's okay. You know.
And what are the more sort of commonplace scenarios that you hear about? I suppose this is one of them, tripping accidents. You must get quite a few calls about that.
Yeah, tripping accidents. This could be on the highway, you know, either walking along the pavement or crossing the road, or it could be in a public place. For example, you know, it's the premises of a supermarket. What tends to happen with those sort of accidents, tripping accidents, are that you can quite often have quite, you know, serious injuries because you're landing, putting out your hands to break your fall, and you can end up with, you know, broken wrists and that sort of thing, or broken ankles if you're going over on them. I mean, I would say with tripping accidents that they're not the easiest cases to be successful at, because the local authority are responsible for the roads and the pavements, have, you know, they have systems in place for picking up on the defects, and if they're operating their systems correctly, then they, you know, can quite often have a defence to the claim. And you also, in the first instance, have to show that what you've tripped over is what was classed as an actionable defect.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, of course, people do trip.
Yeah,
and
they do.
I guess there's not always a particular reason or something that's defective or no. faulty. So, you know, in those situations, I guess there's not always going to be a claim there.
No, that's right.
So slipping accidents and accidents in public places as well, some of the other issues that you deal with.
Yes. That, I mean, slipping accidents, quite often that would be slipping in the supermarket. You know, you're walking down the fruit aisle and the next minute, you know, you're skidding and falling on a piece of fruit, or there's been a spillage in another aisle, or maybe the maybe it's a pool of water, you know, in a restaurant where they've mopped up either a spillage, or they've cleaned and they've not put the wet floor sign up, and you've not seen it and you've slipped and fallen. That's quite you know, they're quite common occurrences. And, you know, recently I've dealt with a lady who slipped on some what appeared to be shower gel in the aisle of a supermarket, and she was awarded some compensation. She wasn't very badly injured, and her compensation was about £2,500 for that.
It is the Legal Hour here on Chester's D Radio. We'll have more from Maria just after this from Aztec Camera. Aztec Camera on Chester's D Radio. Evening. Jamie on till 7, and in the studio joining me today is Maria Pilkington, Head of Personal Injury at Oliver & Co Solicitors. Maria, we have talked about the various things that you can claim for. What is the process, though? If something happens, what kind of process should people follow in reporting it?
Yeah. Well, I would say these are just some tips. If you do find yourself, unfortunately, involved in an accident, always make sure you report it. If it's at work, obviously report it to your supervisor or HR. Make sure it goes in the accident book. Make sure you see what's written in the accident book and that you agree with it before you sign it. If it happens in a shop, then make sure you ask them to put it in the accident book and make sure they take your details. If they haven't got an accident book, make sure they take your name and address. That's very important. If it's a road traffic accident, then make sure you get the details of the person. If it's another car involved in the accident that's driven into you, you need to know who the driver is, their name, if possible their address, definitely their telephone number, and most definitely the registration number of their vehicle. And I would always recommend, if you can, if you've got the presence of mind, get your phone out and take photographs of the car and all the vehicles involved, and also any damage to the vehicles involved. That would be an important thing to do. Obviously, it's important to go and seek medical attention. That might be very obvious, you know, if you're injured and seriously injured, then you may be taken away by ambulance anyway. But if you've got injuries, then you should get them looked out by a medical professional, either your GP or a hospital, depending on how, you know, the severity of the injuries and how immediately you need medical attention. And back again to taking photographs is another thing, especially in tripping accidents. That would be very important, because I mentioned before about what you're tripping on being an actionable defect. Now, as a general rule, and this is just a general rule, if it's on the pavement, if it's a pothole sunken down, or a paving slab sticking up, it needs to be at least an inch or more. If it's in the road, it's usually 2 months. 2 inches, not 2 months. And you could really do with getting like a coloured tape measure and photographing the measurement, because that is your evidence that, you know, what you've tripped over is an actionable defect. Always check if there's any CCTV if you have an accident somewhere, and ask to view it and ask for a copy, because you know, unfortunately it does have a tendency to you know, not always be there when your solicitor gets involved, if your solicitor gets involved and then goes to ask for it. And an obvious thing would be to write down what happens as soon as you can, when it's fresh in your mind, when you know who was there, what time, where, what the conditions were like, where everyone was positioned. And another thing is just to try and get, see if there's any witnesses and get their details. You know, for example, if you fell over, somebody may come and help you up. You may not know them. It may be a, you know, a passerby, but try, if you can, have the presence of mind to get their name and phone number so that they could possibly be called upon to give evidence or to get give a statement that might really help your case in the future.
You mentioned earlier that, I mean, the time scale is actually, it's actually quite varied between up to 2 and 3 years you can mm-hmm. claim for. What if people haven't taken any of those steps, you know, at the time? They haven't got potential witnesses or the details and they haven't been about to take photos.
Yeah.
Is that it? The claim's gone, or is there still...
No, I would say it's always worth investigating. It's, you know, if you think you've got a claim, you should always get in touch. I mean, most certainly get in touch with me or with Oliver and Co. We'd always look into it, and we'd tell you at the outset. Some cases are going to be recorded, you know, in the accident book, or you're going to have a record that you went to hospital, you know, straight away that may record what's happened. It just really depends on the type of accident and the level of evidence maybe that you need, and it will vary from case to case, you know.
So still worth getting in touch, even if you think maybe you haven't followed all those points that we've raised. Welcome back to The Legal Hour, brought to you with Oliver and Co solicitors right here on Chester's D Radio. Maria, we've gone through a load of information. I'm hopeful that we've answered most of your questions that you may have relating to this subject. But one final one might be the costs actually involved in this one and how personal injury claims are actually funded.
Okay, Jamie, well, the way that the claims are funded, certainly at Oliver & Co, and this would be pretty standard, I would say, across most firms, is that you don't pay anything up front. It's like a no-win, no-fee arrangement, which you've probably heard of. And that means that if you're not successful in your claim, then there usually wouldn't be anything for you to pay. It's only if you're successful, and then you have to pay an amount out of the compensation you receive. It's only if you receive the compensation, and we would guarantee, well, we certainly guarantee at Oliver & Co that it would be no more than 25% that you would have to pay towards your legal costs. And that's pretty much how it works.
Click on our Facebook page. We will share the link if you'd like to get in touch with Oliver & Co and find out more, and also check out the podcast section on our website. And just one final thing, there's some possible changes in the law, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Now, these changes, we're not too sure exactly when they're going to come in, but they're supposed to be coming in April 2020, but we haven't got a date for them as far as I'm aware. And basically, the changes, in a nutshell, what's going to happen is, at the moment, we have like a cut-off for what's called a small claims limit, where of £1,000. So for your claim to be able to be brought through a solicitor, it's got to be worth at least £1,000, your injury claim, your personal injury claim. And that is going up when the law changes. It's going up to £5,000. In road traffic accident cases, and it's going up to £2,000 in those other cases that I've spoken to you about. But not only that, in road traffic accident cases, you'll have heard of something called whiplash injuries. In those sort of injuries, which is described as soft tissue injury, they're introducing a different payment scheme for those sort of claims, a fixed tariff scheme. And to give you an example, now if you have a whiplash injury, once the new law comes in, it lasts up to 3 months, you're going to get a fixed amount. I think it's going to be about £230, £235.
Okay.
Whereas under the existing system that we have, that sort of an injury of that of 3 months for a whiplash would get you about £2,100. So it's going to be a significant drop in the amount of compensation you're getting for those sort of whiplash injuries. It isn't going to apply, as far as I'm aware, to retrospectively, so it would only be, you know, once they decide the date that the law is going to change, it will only be for those accidents that occur after right. that date that the new tariff yeah. you know, would apply.
Okay. Maria, thank you very much for joining me this week on The Legal Hour. And if you've just joined us, well, I mean, you've missed it. It's done. But the good news is you can hear it on our podcast section on the website.
From Chester, the all-new Chester's D Radio.